The Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, 'I'm going away and I am coming to you.' If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, as a child, I had a reputation in my family as kind of a worrywart. My worry would come in many different ways. Sometimes it would be when my dad wouldn't come home on time, and I remember kind of sitting as a young child and waiting for him, and where was he? Or it showed itself in me trying to find, I remember vividly when my brother, we were at an auto show at the Minneapolis Convention Center, and my brother got separated from my family, and me searching for him for 45 minutes when I was in second grade, trying to figure out where he was. And as I have entered adult life, I have worked a lot with my worry, with my anxiety, through many different things, through meditation, through exercise, and through even therapy. And through all of this, I have found that anxiety and worry are nothing new to my family history. In fact, my great-grandfather was a successful banker in Minneapolis. But before he was a banker, he was the firstborn son, and so he inherited the farm and started to farm the land that his father had given him. And the farming process, we know this from old letters and old conversations with my grandmother, my great-grandmother, as well as my grandmother, almost did him in. It wasn't the hard work, though, that was tough for him. It was the unpredictability of the whole thing, waiting for rain or too much rain or pests or bugs descending upon the crops or figuring out when the right time is to harvest. In fact, my great-grandfather got so worried that in the first 5 years he had to have surgery on ulcers that developed. In fact, his doctor recommended that he choose a new profession. So he gave the farm over to his younger brother, and he went off to Minneapolis to study accounting and banking, a much more arguably predictable vocation. Now, maybe you don't struggle to the point of getting ulcers, but I'm willing to bet that most of you, like me, have wrestled with anxiety and worry at one point. What if something doesn't work out? What if something bad happens to me, or someone in my family, or a friend? What if I am not able to figure something out? I think these questions lurk within us in many ways. Anxiety can lurk in the shadows of our lives in ways that we don't even realize. So if you want to talk about worry, well, Jesus' disciples are up to their eyeballs in worry at this point in the Gospel of John. This section of the Gospel is known, you may have heard of it before, the final discourse. It is the final sermon of sorts that Jesus gives to the disciples while at the table in the upper room before being arrested and persecuted. The disciples are scared and worried. They don't know what's going to happen. Jeffrey Hoare, a biblical scholar, writes, "Anxiety, grief, and troubled hearts is on the mind of Jesus at this point." And I think he's very right. And this is probably why Jesus gives them and us one of the most famous sayings in all of the New Testament. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." Peace. Peace, I think, in my mind, can be an overused and cliche word that we don't know exactly what it means. It can mean many different things. So what kind of peace is Jesus talking about? What is this peace that Jesus leaves with us? Well, to start at it, I think the Greek word that Jesus uses in this section is eirenin. And biblical scholars are almost unanimous in seeing eirenin as a translation of the Hebrew word that probably many of you have heard of, shalom, which is a common greeting in the Jewish community. This is, of course, the same type of greeting that Jews give one another that has worked its way into Christian worship as well. The Pax Christi, for Latin, for peace of Christ, which is common in all of our worship services. And shalom is a very misunderstood term. I think shalom is seen as really an absence of something, right? We think of peace or shalom as the absence of conflict or the absence of war or rest. This is certainly, I think, part of what shalom means, but it's not entirely what it means. One online dictionary literally translates the greeting shalom as, "May all your essential pieces be joined together." In other words, shalom and its Greek translation, eirenin, mean peace through being whole. A holistic sense of well-being. Many of you, if you're paying attention to the liturgy and the readings that we have for the liturgy, are probably witnessing a deja vu from an earlier Sunday a couple weeks ago with the greeting that Jesus uses, because he uses this greeting again in after the resurrection in chapter 20, verse 19. "Peace be with you," to the disciples as they're sitting in the upper room, wondering what's next. So it certainly seems to be Jesus's go-to words in response to worry and anxiety. "Peace to you. May you be made whole." Now, what does this being made whole really mean? Well, there's a documentary on climbing Mount Everest that is done by the Discovery Channel. It's about 10 years old now. And it documents a climbing team, mostly from the United States, all the way from the beginning, from their training to them coming to the mountain to them acclimating to the altitude to the eventually climbing the final peak. Tim Medvitz, a former Hell's Angel who got into a terrible, terrible motorcycle accident and whose body now has tons of pins and rods that's piecing them back together, he went on this and joined this climbing team to prove to himself that he could do it. And so this documentary shows Tim interacting and becoming close with some of the Sherpas, a term that's used to designate the mountain people who are native to the mountains and who are hired by these climbing teams to shuttle supplies and to help lay out routes. Well, Tim, as you might imagine, is a stubborn guy, and he refuses to use oxygen in his climbing of the mountain. So when he gets to about 25,000 feet, It starts to be apparent that the lack of oxygen is affecting him hauling his 190-pound frame up the mountain. And his lack of oxygen affects his mind so much that he becomes actually a little bit combative and more stubborn as he goes higher and higher. And finally, about half a mile from the actual summit of Everest, half a mile doesn't seem to be very long, but when you're at about 26,000 feet, it is very long. He finally collapses. And he stubbornly and almost incoherently argues with the team leader that it's time to turn around. And the team leader, after arguing with him for over an hour, is almost forced to leave him behind because he needs to attend to the other members of the team. But it is his Sherpa, the Sherpa that Tim talks with and forms a friendship with, who we see in this documentary lifts Tim up, takes him by the hand, and leads him to safety down the mountain. Tim never made it to the summit of Everest, but he recounts how fearful he was. Even when he was so incoherent, he says, "It was as if my mind wasn't doing what I was telling it to do. I was incredibly scared, and I felt like it was getting hopeless. It was my Sherpa friend who helped me get some of the pieces back together so that I could venture to safety." Sometimes in our fear, we find ourselves falling apart, and we can't put all of the pieces back together. Tim was at this point. And maybe we can all see a bit of ourselves in Tim's situation, albeit less extreme. Jesus' shalom points to a promise and a fact, I think. It's a fact that wherever God is present, the pieces, even against all odds, can come back together. And it's a promise in saying God will be present with you, no matter what. Like the Sherpa was with Tim on Everest, picking you up, helping you pick up the pieces of your fear and of your worry to head back to safety. God will be present and will make you whole again. Jeffrey Hoare continues to write, "The peace that Jesus gives is nothing less than the consequence of the presence of God. When God is present, peace is manifest." You know, that's the kind of peace, if you look at it from the world's perspective, that I think is a better peace anyway, right? Peace isn't just the absence of stuff. It's not just the absence of conflict. It's the presence of wholeness. Martin Luther famously said, "Jesus Christ came so that we as humanity could live out more fully who we were created to be." And so in living out more fully who we were created to be, we can't do that in a piecemeal fashion that is gripped by our anxiety. But we do it. We can live who we were created to be with the knowledge that we are filled with God's presence, that God can be present to help us pick up the pieces. Now, it's important to note, however, and I'll make that fact very clear, will fear come to us again sometimes? Will we probably fall into pieces again on the mountain like Tim, even with this knowledge of God? Yes, most likely we will get anxious again. And it would be cheap for me to say, or the church to say, just believe in Jesus and you won't be afraid. Because that's not how it works. So that's maybe why we need the peace of Christ every week. That's why we need to repeat Jesus' words in our worship each and every week to each other. Because sometimes we are going to be fearful. We're going to be worried. We're going to be anxious. And we're going to have some pieces missing. But you can be filled today with the power and presence of Jesus Christ. With God, anything is possible. Even you being made whole once again. So I say to all of you, Shalom. Peace to you. May all your essential pieces be joined together. May your fear and worry, which may have you in pieces right now, leave you, and may you be made whole through the power and presence of Jesus Christ. Amen.